Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan something something Preston.
All right.
Went with the witty answer this time.
I know.
Yeah.
Showing off.
I was being George Costanza this round.
I mean, he only reset the thing twice.
So you know what the most interesting thing I've read, and I say that all the time, but this one was fascinating. I'll just read straight off the Slash Film article. The Matrix seemed like a franchise tailor-made for Jet Li. The Wachowskis' mind-bending series, sci-fi series began in 99, featured the brooding heroes, all black with coats, insane martial arts skills, all elements that Li had down pat. And the Chinese action star was actually offered a part as Seraph in The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions, only to turn it down. But a good reason for turning it down, in part in the defining franchise of the 90s and the 90s and 2000, basically what happened is that Jet Li, the reason he turned it down as Seraph in 2003 was related to the technology cautionary tale that The Matrix franchise was warned against. Basically, he had to sign over all of his moves. So Li didn't want the film's Hollywood producers to own his martial arts moves and intellectual property.
Definitely,
I would have said fuck that too,
and possibly digitally reproduce them with another person's face.
I would have told him to f off.
Use that in perpetuity for any CGI thing that they fucking do.
I don't think I have IMDb on this device.
See that.
But when did he do his epics like Hero and?
But none of them were like The Matrix, where he would be signing over his rights.
No, but what I'm saying is like him turning that down, maybe him in a different direction to do movies like Hero. I can't think of. I sure as hell hope it wasn't the one. I think the one was around the time Matrix came out, but.
But that blew my mind because I was thinking, I actually think it was better that he didn't, because I don't think, well, besides the fact I really dislike the latter two Matrix movies, I don't think he would have added anything to that movie that would have been worth him risking
all. It would have just been a name.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally.
Ryan, when did he do Hero? I mean, you got IMDb
Hero is 2002.
Okay, so it was a year before.
Cradle to the Grave was 2003. Rise to Honor was 2003. And then Unleashed was 2005. So he missed out on a payday, but potentially could have lost his intellectual property in the process. Not really.
It would have just been a easier way to...
It wouldn't have been worth it. Because he would have lost... At least in Western cinema, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. Because in theory, if it's like I think it would be, he'd have to ask for permission to do what he's been doing. If it's like a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot to really just throw into for a role to say that you're just going to sign over. I mean, that's his repertoire. I mean, he's really not that fantastic of a character actor.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I mean, really, come on, Ryan. I mean, he's a martial arts actor.
Well, he's basic.
Yeah, for sure.
In some ways, you could say he's like Jackie Chan, but without the comedy element. I mean, Jackie Chan handing the rights over to his martial arts ability and what he does, basically losing what makes him him.
Yeah, I mean, if Jackie Chan signed over his martial arts abilities, he would, I mean, even still his martial arts abilities are his comedy. As well.
He's a very physical comedian, but if somehow you were able to sign over his intellectual property.
That's a shitty thing to do to any actor, honestly.
Well, I mean, it's just like...
I understand them wanting to use it in CGI and different shit like that, but to actually do that, I mean, that's just really handicaps them. I mean,
people have done that to their names, too, like their actual names.
But it's not like what I told you back in when I had to sign over stuff about recipes, is it's not as simple as just being like, okay, well, I just changed this ingredient. It's not the same damn recipe.
Yeah.
You can't do that with martial arts moves or moves.
Like changing over a sandwich, you could change a couple of things like you said versus it's his style. It would be nearly impossible just because you'd be so used to doing certain moves, it would be completely retraining yourself for a different style, if it would be possible, which I don't know if it would be.
I don't know. I mean, it's a lifetime of commitment to get to the level that Jackie Chan and Jet Li.
Well, a lot of it is you'd be retraining muscle memory, because a lot of it you don't think about. Like if you watch all these MMA fighters, it's all reaction.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they're thinking about what they're going to do, but when it comes down to the clinch, you know, they're just, their body's reacting. Their mind isn't necessarily thinking about things.
And that can cost you a lot of money if you do that in the middle of a film.
It was there's a wrestler by the name of Big Show. His real name's Paul Wright or White. Where's talking, he took up boxing for a while, and he had a, his trainer said there's something called unconscious confidence. Basically, you see an opening, then you take it, but it's because you've been practicing so much that your mind sees the opening and it reacts. Mm. And he said by the time he would see the opening, it had already been closed. Which is something that always kind of blew my mind.
Well, that's true.
I just was really surprised that that's what they would ask
for. I sure as hell would not want to fight the Big Show in any boxing match.
You know, I kind of miss the Wachowskis. I wasn't a big fan of the last two Matrix movies, but I do miss their sensibility of things.
Am I the only one that defends those fucking movies?
No, I've backed you up on it a few times, but
I just don't think there were, my problem is I don't think they were as good. I understand the reason for some scenes that I dislike. I just thought they were rushed. I always thought...
Oh, no, I just thought it was... They did the first one pretty much at the perfect time because everything they needed to do was pretty much available to them. They rushed them in as much as they couldn't wait 10 years to come out with the shit when the... when the...
Great job defending it.
The technology had caught up.
Ah, I gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I don't actually disagree. I just think if they had been a little bit more patient, I think it would have been better. You know, I think it's a difference between having instant coffee and a good cup of coffee is if you let it percolate a little bit. And I just don't think that was there.
I would say...
For some of it. Some of it was really good. Other parts of the second and third one I thought were piss poor.
The first one was well-timed.
Oh, 100%.
The second one, I think it was... I would say that that one is the one that you could see the major rush job on because of certain scenes, mostly the one where they had Neo fighting all the Mr. Smiths. That one aged terribly. And even at the time, it was very good CGI to begin with.
Yeah, at the time, it was like, you're doing this a little early. That was the feeling to me.
So
like, okay, this was a, but I get what they're going for. Yeah. To me, it's like watching a cartoon in as much as I get what you're trying to do. And this is the tool you have to do it. You have a pen, so you draw your art and you get your point across. To me, they got their point across and the movie holds up simply on concept alone.
I would agree with you on that.
I would say not to cut you off. I would say the problem with second and third one is you have sequel syndrome and you have the first Matrix was huge and that's a lot to live up to in a sequel. And I think that's the problem for me, at least anyways, is that's a really hard thing to play up to is your expectations of it, which was part of it for me is they didn't live up to what the first one was. And
well,
I'm totally right.
I get that as well.
Conceptually, they did. That fucking freeway scene was dope.
Yeah.
The whole twins fucking weird guys was sick. The whole Keymaster thing was amazing. I mean, scene by scene, I could break down why the fuck I loved the shit out of that movie.
But I'm saying for me, I mean, it might have to a lot of people, but to me, I don't think it lived up to the first one.
No, and it won't.
To me personally.
I don't think it ever will, John.
The first one, but I don't think they had sequelitis. That's what I'm saying.
No,
I don't think they didn't jump the shark. They told the continuation of the story they were going for, you know. But getting back to people being replaced or going out the roles or turning shit down, did you guys know that Will Smith turned down Neo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what he did instead?
Men in Black?
Wild Wild West.
Really? I won't fault him on that one. The first one I enjoyed.
I don't think he would have done it. I don't think he would have done a good Neo.
Hold on. We're not glossing over that shit.
There's only one Wild Wild West movie.
Yeah.
I think I for Will Smith, I think he did pretty good for that role.
No, they tried John, other shit, but
shut up for a second.
Hold on.
No one ever fucking put me shit again for liking a movie like Super when you were even barely about to defend Wild Wild West.
What's wrong with Wild Wild West?
It's one of the worst movies ever made.
Why?
It's one of those questions that you hope somebody asks you one day, but nobody ever does, and now I can't articulate the answer. There's not one aspect of that movie that's redeemable. It had a giant robotic spider as the bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, you like Doc Ock, don't you?
I think you watch that movie again. Did you watch that movie when you were like 10 years old or something?
When have I ever not been 10 years old?
Yeah, good point, but I thought you had better taste
in. No, I mean, what is not, really not wrong like with that movie other than it, it's got Owen Wilson in it?
Dude, the whole dynamic. Owen Wilson.
I'm just torturing you now.
Yeah, he's he's just fucking with you. Some of the concepts of that movie I really actually liked.
Oh my god! What, Wild Wild West?
Yeah, no, there were. I loved. So here's the thing: I hate comedies generally, but this was kind of the right stupid comedy. This was, for me, this is all the stupid comedies. This is really kind of the itch I like. This was something that didn't take itself too seriously. And this is when Will Smith
didn't take itself seriously enough.
Which is why I like
it. Okay.
Because honestly, wait, time out. Have any of you guys seen the TV series? The actual original 60s or 70s TV series, no. Wild Wild West? They kind of actually matched the spirit of the TV show. They really did.
Okay, like Get Smart and Get Smart the Movie? No, because they didn't match shit on those.
Well, I never saw the movie Get Smart, but... Well, I saw the original movies, but no, this, they actually matched it pretty good for what the original TV series was.
I don't know.
But it was a stupid movie, and I went into it realizing it was going to be a ridiculous, stupid movie. I mean, come on, you just saw the trailer. Will Smith did a song for it. If Will Smith did a song for your movie, it was ridiculous.
Well, Men in Black was amazing, and he did a song for that.
Yeah, but it was ridiculous, though. It didn't take itself too
seriously. It wasn't ridiculous like Wild Wild West was ridiculous.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It was ridiculous, but a different way.
I mean, are you talking about the second one? Are we bringing the second and third one into this?
Which one?
I can't even really claim the first one is ridiculous.
What was the second one?
Movie.
Was that when they had a female partner?
Yeah. That was basically the Men in Black that shall not be named.
I don't remember that one all that much. I like
that's because it was such a piece of shit.
I liked the last one. I thought it was pretty old.
Yeah, the third one was actually pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
I mean, it's basically like the Temple of Doom.
Well, I would say Wild Wild West. One of the reasons I thought it was ridiculous for what they did with the bad guy, I thought was hilarious. Like they. You know, somehow instead of having legs, they just shot like he somehow lost his from his like torso down.
Yeah, every time I see that part, I'm just like, do you understand that dude would actually literally be dead?
That's one of the reasons it's hilarious. Just
I mean, where how does he piss and shit? Am I the only one that thought that?
No, not at all.
Right. Anyways,
the other thing I thought was hilarious.
One would imagine he's got a colostomy bag or something.
But I mean, look at the design of his freaking stupid little leg thing. And yeah, I'm not defending the movie, Ryan. I was just pissing you off.
You can't defend Wild Wild West. There's Selma Hayek in that movie. You cannot defend
Selma Hayek movie.
Yeah, you never say a fucking unkind word about Selma Hayek.
Dude.
Too late.
Dude.
Come on, she was the muse in fucking Dogma. For that, I'm forever grateful.
Oh, God, I love Dogma. That's a great movie. That is a straight out fantastic film. This jumps into what I was kind of throwing out, what I was going to bring up is, you know, we've spent a lot of time just kind of throwing out shitty movies as just like basically without explaining them. And I wanted to put this one out there. So for me, when I throw out the movie Paycheck, now,
oh my God,
no, hold on. I'm going a different route with this one. Now, what movies do you guys ever think of that literally explain the entire movie for you?
Repeat that again?
So for me, Paycheck. It's mm-hmm. basically he's after his paycheck, right? That's basically the whole premise of the damn movie. Cut out all the other shit, and that's basically what Ben Affleck was actually going for when he picked the role. He didn't give a shit about the movie. He just wanted the money.
That was after the money for sure.
Well, that's like so that's like Steve Tyler being on America's Most Got was it that
Most Talent?
Yeah, one of the singing shows because he was after a paycheck.
Yeah,
he bought a house.
So, but I mean, so I was thinking about this. So, another movie for me that like the title basically completely describes the entire movie is Shoot 'Em Up. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. But yeah, there's really nothing in that movie of substance. It's just a shoot 'em up movie.
Right. It really wears its heart on its sleeve.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, are there other movies out there for you guys that, like, the title explains everything about the film? I mean, in the instance of Paycheck, it also, you know, basically explains why Ben Affleck chose that role.
So I don't, at the top of my head, I don't have a movie, but I have an actor.
How does that work into what I'm asking though?
Well, it's similar far as you know what the movie's going to be as soon as a said person's going to be in it.
Oh, okay.
Megan Fox, you automatically know what it's going to be.
A shitty teen film?
Yeah.
All right.
And then I would also
Michael
say
Michael Bay movie
with or
yeah. same thing
yeah or, Michael Bay movie yeah
or Angelina Jolie. There's usually like one or she's either an action hero, a crazy chick, or a crazy action hero. She hasn't really done too much out of that.
So you're saying in the sense of as an actor picking or actress picking a role, you automatically understand what the film's going to be.
99% of the time with certain actors, yeah.
I mean, that, you even throw in Adam Sandler into that.
Christopher Lambert from The Highlander.
As if we didn't know who Christopher Lambert was.
Well, I mean, if we actually have more than one other person listening to this, and that being John as he edits it, somebody might not know who Christopher Lambert is.
He hasn't really done anything of note in quite a while. I don't even know if he's still acting.
Come on, he was the first Raiden.
True. Oh, God.
But that was mid-90s.
Yeah, I just totally did true, and then I just envisioned him as Raiden, and that's where the oh, God came from.
By the way, you know what the best thing about that movie was? This soundtrack is amazing. Back then, it was really good.
Yeah.
Well, that song, wasn't there three? Theme.
Wasn't there three?
Mortal Kombat movies? Mortal Kombat movies. But the first...
There were three of them? I thought there were only two.
I think there's three.
I'm pretty sure there's
I know there's at least two. You never know. They pop up. And at this point in time, we can count the video games.
No, that's true.
Oh, God. You know, that's a good question, though, as far as what movies tell you what they are.
Yeah. Another one, and I was thinking about it, and it basically is the whole movie, but... But for me, there's more substance than just the title would be Four Rooms.
No, yeah, Four Rooms is basically a descriptor of the plot overall.
But there's more substance to it than
I would
that
say
actual.
The plot device.
Yeah.
It's the device used to tell stories. Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, but it's the same thing as Four Rooms. You hear the name, and it's like, that doesn't make any sense. And then you see the movie, and it's like, perfect name.
Oh, okay, I could see what you're saying. Explaining it. Anyway,
what do you have any, Ryan?
I mean, you know, I don't know. I can kind of do that math with a lot of titles.
But with a decent premise behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all kind of arbitrary.
Really? See, I would have figured you had a couple more.
Well, I mean, because I'm thinking shit like The Expendables, you know what I mean, or something like that. Like, okay, well, that's like a mindless action movie.
Cape Fear.
Fast and the Furious, anything, you know, is that kind of shit. Like, oh, okay, this movie is going to be about cars.
But I'm just kind of throwing out there, like, I mean, like, one that wouldn't fit it for me would be Predator, even though it tells you what the film, you know, like, you're going to have a predatory animal after it, but they don't really... That wouldn't fit it for me because they don't tell you if it's like an alien. I mean, if it was Alien, Predator, or Schwarzenegger.
Or
I mean,
Bill Cosby.
You know, something like that. But I mean, like, like Species. You really don't understand what that's going to be, you know? You would have to flip it over around the box to see what it was about.
Cape Fear. You have to see the movie, but it's a perfect descriptor.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing is I can't think of something that I
other than the ones I've named
retroactively thinking of like after I saw the movie I'm like, oh, of course, it makes perfect sense.
Well, Mean Girls, I've never seen the movie, but if you watch the trailer and everything, I've heard about it.
Yeah, but would you say the same shit about White Chicks?
Nailed it. Yeah.
After seeing the trailers, you could just say Wayans Brothers, and you would get the type of movie. It's like seeing a Madea movie, and it's just like, oh, okay.
Seen a Madea movie, well, actually.
For people who like those movies, those are the movies those people are going to like.
Well, that would be the same thing as like National Lampoon's.
Exactly. It's not everybody's cup of tea.
Now, I got a question about the National Lampoon's. Why the fuck did that thing take off? Like, why did that become a thing that people were interested in?
I actually have no idea. Christmas Vacation's the only one I like.
That's the only thing I can think of is like, because I don't remember films before it.
Was the movie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it. It was a magazine.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Did you guys watch that documentary? It's actually a movie. It's called, it was on Netflix. A Stupid and Futile Gesture, I think it's called, if I remember right. Will Forte playing the guy who basically creates National Lampoon magazine with the other guy while they're at Harvard. Because that's what it is. It's the Harvard joke magazine, essentially.
Was it Bill Murray? Or
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody was in it. Like, everybody fucking Conan? Funny ever in the 70s was in that shit.
Yeah.
Was it Conan O'Brien in that?
I don't know.
I think Chevy Chase was. Sorry.
No, I lost interest after the Christmas Vacation and things like that.
I didn't like, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Vacation was good. Christmas Vacation was good.
Christmas Vacation was the only one I liked. I didn't like Summer Vacation. I don't know why.
Oh,
I never
the first
clicked.
Vacation was fucking amazing.
I agree with that. The first Vacation was really amazing, but.
When I saw it as a kid, I wasn't a big fan of it. I haven't seen
I liked it as a kid.
I haven't seen it since.
I liked it when, you know, like the whole car got jacked while they're sitting in it. That was just great.
that was the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, because, I lived in Southern California at the time, so I completely understood what was going on, and they're just sitting there, just their cars just getting boosted completely out from underneath them, and it was just freaking hilarious. But, yeah, but...
when you hear the gunshot, roll them up.
Yeah.
Another actor would be Rainn Wilson. He's another actor who's usually pigeonholed in roles.
Are you just really gotta bring Super back into this all the time?
No, it's actually not about Super, but
it's
he
about
plays
tentacle porn, isn't it?
Yeah, baby. He usually plays those type of roles, but he was in an episode of Numbers.
The tentacle of God.
He was in an episode of the TV show Numbers, playing a fairly serious character. And he did pretty good. So, but he's more pigeonholed into those comedies.
Let me tell you the sleeper on fucking Rainn Wilson, because I wasn't like up the Rainn Wilson ass. I liked The Office, and I liked this character, but you know, I thought he was kind of like you said, sort of pigeonholed or this one particular guy. Have you seen The Rocker?
Oh,
I've seen
heard
part
of
it,
haven't
not
seen
the
it.
Whole thing. I remember you talking about it.
It blew all my fucking expectations. Like I was thinking, okay, this is going to be just some dumb movie, you know, about this dude who's super awkward and you know, plays in his, nephew's band or something. That movie was so endearing. It was ridiculous.
Hmm.
But yeah, Rainn Wilson played a great character, kind of slightly against type, because he's playing like this sort of washed up rock star. But yeah, that movie was great. It's hilarious.
I would love to see him in a serious role. Granted, that's probably not what gets him paid. But I would love to see like what he could do. Just because my particular predilection is I'm not a big fan of comedies, especially his more awkward comedy styles.
Mm.
So I'd love to see what he could do in a more serious role. Maybe
Well, Super was a serious role in a comedy, you know.
Yeah, but
that's true.
It was funny how serious he was.
I think he could do like some of like Jim Carrey's serious comedy movies. You know, you like The Truman Show, which is a very serious movie with comedy elements in it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'd love to see
do that. What was that flick Will Ferrell did? Where the chick is writing his Stranger Than Fiction.
I haven't seen that one. I'm not a Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Get the fuck out of here. You're not a Will Ferrell
no.
fan. Who are you?
No, I've just never been a Will Ferrell fan, even when he was on Saturday Night Live.
I'm not a big fan of him. I can see why people
like
him.
I liked him in Elf.
I hate that movie.
I like Elf.
Yeah, I didn't like Elf. That's where I draw the line. My fucking coworker loves Elf.
Oh, by the way, I can see why people like him. He's incredibly talented. He's just not my cup of tea.
Oh, man, dude. Talladega Nights, the other guys. Okay.
Oh, I did like Talladega Nights as well.
Step Brothers, like those movies, fucking kill me.
Well, I did like Talladega Nights.
And man, I really didn't think I was gonna like Talladega Nights because I'm not a NASCAR fan by any stretch.
It's probably why you liked
it.
Yeah.
Damn, that movie was funny.
Yeah, that's probably why you did like it.
Sacha Baron Cohen calls it Formula U because he's French. I might have pissed myself fucking laughing at that.
Hilarious.
John has like no, he's like hilarious. Just doesn't give a shit.
I just, you know, like I can, like out of, unlike a lot of people, I can see why these guys, you know, make money. Because there is talent in what he does. Even Rainn Wilson, I think he's incredibly talented. I just, he's not really my cup of tea. I can't begrudge anybody getting a payday because I'd do the same thing if I had the chops to do it.
Yeah, no kidding. And he is a lot of people's cup of tea. That's the thing. You know, it's and it doesn't have to be for everybody. That's the beautiful thing about art in general, you know.
Well, I would say for what he does, he's a fantastic guy on what he does. Just I don't know, it's just most of the stuff that he does as a comedian, I just don't find entertaining.
Is he a comedic actor or a comedian? Because I would say those are two different things. Like Joe Rogan versus
actor.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't see him doing stand up. He was one of those guys like I would say Jim Carrey is a comedic actor.
I would say the same thing for right. Conan O'Brien. He's not a comedian. He's a comedic writer.
I don't watch enough of him to really make thing, but I don't like Conan.
I would say the same thing about Johnny Carson to some degree, too. He just had an amazing sense of timing, but I don't think he would have necessarily made a good stand-up comic versus the medium he was originally in.
Well, see, somebody else, I would say Adam Sandler is a comedian and a comedic actor.
Well, because he was originally a comedian, same with Roseanne.
Yeah, but I never found her funny.
Some of her early stand-up was
funny. Yeah, dude,
was
I used to have all of Adam Sandler's fucking albums back
me too.
In the day.
I still love that song, What the Hell Happened to Me.
Hell yeah, man.
Fantastic song. One of the best ones ever written.
All the sketches in those fucking things were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I was never
a fucking goat.
Never a big sad Adam Sandler fan. Another guy like I could see his talent, but just wasn't really.
Man, I was definitely the right age for Adam Sandler.
You're still the right age for Adam Sandler.
Exactly. Yeah, like all of his new shit. I'm like, hey, this is good too.
Well, that's why I liked the funny people movie. That one was just,
dude, Funny People was so good, man.
I mean, it was just so close to home on him as a person
and
actor.
And it made you understand it so easily right off the bat, you know, and then you kind of put yourself in the Seth Rogen character, you know, is this guy helping him out, you know, through this like terrible fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, what a great movie that was.
I agree. So we've kind of talked about this before. Were there any movies that made you really like an actor? For example, the one I keep telling people is Everything is Illuminated made me actually appreciate Elijah Woods. Because before, I didn't really like any of his movies. And you see this and you see, okay.
North was the shit.
Well,
you were the right age for North.
Fucking A, right, I was.
You're still the right age for North.
Come on, Bruce Willis, man, and Elijah Wood.
I didn't like him up until Everything is Illuminated. You know, I wasn't even sold on him as Frodo. So what do you think? Any movies?
Yeah, I talked some shit about Frodo, but I still liked it. Low-key. I just couldn't admit it to my friends because I live near the hood.
You know,
I would say for Frodo, I just didn't like the way it was directed.
For me, and I found this to really bother a lot of people my age as well, is I didn't like Russell Crowe for a very long time. I did not like him. I didn't want to watch his movies. Even Gladiator, other than the Gladiator battles, I really didn't give a shit about Gladiator. None of it. And then I saw A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
And once I saw A Beautiful Mind, that one changed my complete perspective of Russell Crowe as an actor and as a person. And I actually paid attention to him. But before that, I didn't like him at all.
Oh, there were multiple reasons. Like, Gladiator, like, one of the issues I had, I mean, because I actually liked part of Gladiator. But once you see it once, you'll never have to watch it again.
Yeah.
It's not like Blade Runner, where you can watch multiple times and pick up little things.
Yeah.
The biggest problem I know is certain type of guys really loved it. Like, I remember every church group I was a part of that was a men's group would have, let's be Maximus. And I'm thinking, so you want your wife and child to be murdered? You want to get died in the end by River Phoenix's brother? That's really aim for that, you know.
And there's an actor I still don't like.
You know, I actually liked him.
Name a film that you like him in.
The Johnny Cash movie.
Joaquin.
I thought he did a good job in the Johnny Cash.
Yeah, Joaquin is kind of hair and miss for me. Yeah, the Johnny Cash one was great.
No,
I don't think he could sing like
I can't
him.
Do it. Well, that's because he's got a damn hair lip.
Yeah, that's a little harsh.
I don't care.
I mean, that is, a little discriminatory.
Ask me if I care.
Oh, you know, I'll say Ray and Jamie Foxx in the movie Ray.
Oh, see, I like Jamie Foxx before that, but to see him playing
Jamie
that
Foxx
role,
everything except for the new Robin Hood movie. I just saw that the other day. Don't watch that movie.
It looks fun. It looks like another stupid.
He's no
movie.
Morgan Freeman.
It is not a good film.
It can't be. I mean, so Kevin Costner on the scale between the original, you know, the one where he's wearing tights to.
Tights?
Yeah. Well, I forgot what it is. So the original tights? One made in the 50s to Kevin Costner. Where would it be?
Adam West Batman?
Probably somewhere in there. I mean, it's hard to explain because it's just giving it away for anybody.
That's Errol Flynn. Between Errol Flynn's Robin Hood and Kevin Costner's. Because
let's just say it's sad when the Kevin Costner one is the best one.
You know, I'll give it to you. I actually really like the Errol Flynn one, but that's because I'm a fan of older movies. The one I really hated, and it had so much potential, was Russell Crowe's.
Mm.
Because
that one did have some potential, but it tried to go with that dark brooding angle of the whole thing and just got lost in its own image.
And the other part that I really disliked was he really wasn't Robin of Locksley. He was some other schlep.
He was just some guy.
That kind of bothered me because it was like, you know, it was worth a try. I mean, they always seem to drag out Robin Hood just like they dragged out King Arthur with the guy who played Jax. You know, those characters and, you know, archetypes get dragged out every 10, 20 years.
Well,
by the way, that movie
was the one that
sucked.
Just went out, that came out not that long ago. That was the one with, what was the guy who played Shoot 'Em Up?
Clive Owen?
Yeah, didn't he? He did a King Arthur one a couple of years, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
15, 20 years ago.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe 10 or so. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That one wasn't bad.
Not Lancelot. It was
King Arthur.
No, was it called King
or Arthur? One of those two.
Yeah, it might have just been called Arthur or
yes,
or something
that,
like that. Or
oh, yes, because that's the one with Hayden's Wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
That the one was where they had like the his group of people and all of them had their specialties and shit.
Yeah.
So it was King Arthur. It was made in 2004. Yes, this is the one that they were
15 years ago. Yeah.
There were these children, this village or state. They owed Rome children.
Yeah, but and that's actually what was going on. Rome was taking their children and raising them as people. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
I'm sorry. This is the movie that got Keira Knightley really pissed off because of the American boob cover.
Yeah. The thing is that one had so much potential too. It really did.
I thought they did pretty good with it.
I think they dropped it.
So let's take that movie. Would you have it towards like Lord Greystoke, the really serious Tarzan movie versus, you know, like the one from Starship Troopers? So which Tarzan or Lord Greystoke? Which way would you want it to go?
Because
I thought they did it as good as they could without making it more of a serious movie with less action, which I would have been okay with a little bit more drama in that movie.
Yeah, that's what I would have actually come out with. I would prefer a little bit more drama, which would be the Greystone.
Thank you.
Greystone. I liked the new Tarzan. I thought it was pretty good.
I did too. I liked Skarsgård though.
Fun movie.
Yeah. But
I hope they make another one.
And Margot Robbie just fucking crushes goddamn everything she does.
She is an amazing actress.
I mean, her and the Wolf of Wall Street, dude. I mean, like, that chick should win Oscars for that movie.
Did it not?
I thought it did. Rather.
Didn't it?
Did she, though? I think it did. I think the movie did.
Anyways. I gave up on the Oscars back long time ago. Actually, A Beautiful Mind was the one that I just really was like... A Training Day over A Beautiful Mind. You got to be shitting me. Anyways, but
was it Training Day? I thought it was something else.
No, Training Day beat out A Beautiful Mind.
If there's anybody who can hold a grudge in this podcast, it's James over a movie. So yeah, I wouldn't doubt his grudges.
Yeah, don't argue with me on this one, Ryan. I know.
It'll be 40 years from now and he'll still be bitching about Training Day.
Oh, yeah, I will. And that's one, I mean...
We'll both be in wheelchairs.
As far as a Denzel Washington film, it was good to see him playing the bad guy.
Yeah, that was a cool-ass fucking movie.
But A Beautiful Mind was just way better written, way better acted.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
So
I would, you know, it's funny. Talk about Denzel Washington. The movie Taking a Felon 1-2-3, I think, was the movie that made me like him a little bit more. But of course,
but you still don't watch his movies.
I watch some of his movies, but you're also playing against Travolta, who makes an amazing bad guy. But I liked that was Taking a Felon 1-2-3 was another one that made me like him.
Face Off.
Yeah, but didn't he also play a bad guy in Waterworld? Or what was it? What was the one?
The bad guy in Waterworld was what's his name?
No, there was one that he came out with around the same time. Was that a Battlefield Earth?
Oh, Battlefield Earth.
Oh, you're talking about?
Was that the one? That was the other one that he played bad guy in. Was that
the Swordfish?
Swordfish is a great movie.
Yeah, Swordfish was a good one.
That was the first time I remember him playing a bad guy, and you're thinking, damn, he plays a good bad guy.
You know,
that was another one of those movies where they had to film hacking and make it look interesting.
Yeah.
Up with all the graphics that always makes you laugh.
Well, that one, I was in the theater and they did the explosion of the ball bearing scene.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only one cheering and saying, do it again. I'm like, are you guys freaking kidding me? Like, this is a fantastic scene right there. I mean, even still to this day, that's a fantastic scene.
Yeah,
where the ball bearing comes rolling up and they get the reflection in it and the blood.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
James and I in theaters have a tendency to get people upset because we're the only people cheering for things we're not supposed to.
Fucking Trinity.
Book of Eli was another one that maybe like Denzel Washington. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, Book of Eli was good.
I don't know how it holds up today, but back when it came out, I really liked it.
Yeah. That one was a little bit too much desolation for me, you know, kind of like how they portrayed the Earth type thing. And
that really scratched my post-apocalyptic itch. I mean, it's not really my favorite niche in it. I'm more in the big fan of the sci-fi, like the hardcore space sci-fi, you know.
All right.
But yeah, I always like, speaking of which,
I got my girlfriend into B-Starring recently.
Really?
Get her into what?
I'm slowly beating it into her, but yeah. Yeah.
What's taking her so?
You better send her a text and ask her.
What does she like about it?
What doesn't she? No, see, it's the fact that it's my idea.
Oh.
You know, she's really skeptical of the things that I tell her that she would like.
Oh, okay.
You have to admit she has a point there, because my wife thinks
James has the worst taste in movies.
Oh, that's good.
Ryan?
I mean, what?
Have you had her watch The Expanse?
You know what? We started that one, actually. That's actually what got me into, like, hey, let's watch B-Star.
That's what I was going to say. Is that when you went on your B-Star cheese trip?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. That kind
of
makes sense.
One of my issues with Battlestar Galactica, and this is going to sound weird, it's too clean.
Too clean.
It's hard to describe. It's
the cinematography.
The sets to me are too clean for the post-apocalyptic.
The
itch. Yeah, well, if you take a look at the Book of Eli, everything it's very gritty. There's very, very dirty.
See, I think that's what I didn't like about it.
That happened a while back. B-Star G. That apocalypse happened 20 fucking minutes ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, but to me, like my post-apocalyptic, I there's a certain niche I really dig. I haven't really...
Well, see, here's the thing is with my sci-fi, there's a certain niche I really dig. The reason I never really got into Star Trek is because I always perceived it as kind of that, and I was a little bit wrong, I'll admit, that sort of uber nerd, like hardcore sci-fi, everything's just like technical specs and shit. I mean, I'm not too wrong, because there are like specs... models of the entire ship and all the different rooms and all that shit mapped out, so people are crazy about it. But
I would say
with Battlestar, like when shit goes wrong, there was no computer saying, "Hey, this thing is broken." It was people down there with wrenches, like fixing shit. People were covered in grease, and
I would say,
you know, people died.
I would say also another reason why people like Battlestar Galactica more in some aspects is the fact Star Trek is a very utopian view of humanity. Battlestar Galactica is not. You know, there's all the drama with the president, and you see all this stuff that happens. I think that's another reason why people like it.
They start pulling in kind of the religious aspect of it, and this war going on still, all the subterfuge. I mean, everything about that show was fucking amazing.
It showed the frailty of mankind, versus Star Trek is really, up until maybe Deep Space Nine, it was very... very humanity has gone past money. People do things to benefit themselves.
I think that's why people like.
Well, no, like
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, because Deep Space Nine was, you got to see the underside of it. Maybe the Federation was this utopian, but outside of Federation, everything was more gritty, and that's why a lot of people like Deep Space Nine. At that point, I kind of tuned out a little.
Really?
I just got tired.
I like the actor, the captain guy. I forget his name.
Benjamin Sisko?
Yeah.
There were three Star Trek TV shows on it, though, I think, at one point in time. And at that point, I just got burned out.
Yeah, I think Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and one other one was going on at the same time.
I think Next Gen was on towards the latter part of that. Because
maybe.
The first couple of episodes have Picard on there.
Mm.
And after that, there's only so much. I mean, it's basically like CSI Miami. You know, after a while, you're just like, oh.
Yeah. Poor Ginger.
And to be honest, there's only so many times you could watch him take off his glasses. I'd rather hear Grissom's puns.
What?
Every time. That was his serious moment. Was just like, it's like Clark Kent becoming Superman. Taking off. It's like, good God. At least Grissom was funny.
You know, even still with... was it Jerry Springer? Not Jerry Springer. Jerry Seinfeld.
You're not the mama.
When he kind of explained like that's why he likes Superman over Batman is because Superman's disguise was his impression of mankind.
Yeah, Clark Kent was the alter ego.
So to me, he's mocking us then.
Yeah.
He thinks we're that stupid that he puts on glasses and we don't know who the fuck he is.
Well, Bruce Wayne is Batman's secret identity.
Well, not sure, but...
Yeah, no, I'm convinced of that as well.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Batman is the real person, for sure.
Because I think Bruce Wayne is really... I mean, Batman / Bruce Wayne, I think Bruce Wayne's really just a giant rich asshole who likes beating people up.
Bruce Wayne is an imitation of a person.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no,
you know, it's his interpretation of what humanity is like.
And that's what I liked about Nolan's Batman is Nolan's Batman brought that in.
Oh, 100%.
That's what Alfred basically told him is, hey, dude, you got to go out and be a philanderer and, you know, a party person. But that's one of the things, like, I like that Nolan brought that in from the animated series, because when the Riddler trapped him in that little utopia and he's like, I gave you everything you wanted. Why couldn't you be happy? And, you know, when he turns to Robin and goes, I don't, you know, he basically says at that moment, he said, I don't refer to myself as Bruce Wayne in my mind. He's Batman.
There's another point of that on...
That's how he knew it was a falsity.
There's another one on that, and it's Batman Beyond. They put this little, like, microphone in a bandage on Bruce Wayne. You keep hearing voices that kept saying, Bruce. And he turns to Terry at the end of the TV show, and he said, so how did you know? It's like, I don't call myself Bruce in my mind. Yeah. And then Terry says, well, I'm Batman. Yeah. And he said, tell that to my subconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, the Batman Beyond thing was an underrated ass fucking show.
It really was.
That had my favorite part of that is I loved the noir aspect of that, and I also loved the Art Deco of the futuristic Art Deco.
What I've always loved about Batman is that's always been kind of the vibe.
Oh hell yeah.
I'm a big Art Deco fan.
And I think especially, I don't know about the comic books, but on the TV show, it really kicked in after the early 90s Batman movies. Once, what's his name? I can't remember his name. The guy who directed the first real Batman movie? Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Once Tim Burton got his hands on it, Tim Burton definitely bettered the cartoon and the medium of Batman.
Yeah, I agree. For sure.
Yeah.
Because before it was just... You know, it was the comic books weren't campy, but the live action stuff was pretty bad.
Yeah, terrible. The animated series had a lot to do with all the new revamps. I mean, because people talk about those more than they ever talk about the movies.
Yeah, and
that's kind of what they were going for with that level of dark sensibility.
Yeah, and what Hamill did with the Joker.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I didn't find out that he was the Joker until I was in like my mid 20s.
Who was the Joker?
Mark Hamill.
Oh,
Mark Hamill.
Yeah. And, I didn't find out until later on too.
Somebody told me, I didn't fucking believe him. I'm like, no fucking way. Yeah. And then looked it up, you know, on the internet. I don't remember.
Actually, it's funny. You talk about Batman. One of my favorite Batman comic books was The Shadow of the Bat. It ran from from 92 to 2000. I have some of the earlier ones. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I think not the Hush series. The Court of Owls is pretty much up there with some of my favorites. The Hush series was actually really good, though. Now that I'm thinking about it.
You know,
there's a lot of good Batman runs out there, but fuck, man, the new 52's been killing it pretty good.
Do you know what amazes me is Batman and Superman. Superman for sure is from the Golden Age of comics. I don't know if Batman is specifically.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But
yeah,
how? But the longevity of those characters when there's so many.
Yeah, they're almost 100 years old.
Well, when so many have come and gone, you take a look at the Wonder Woman has come and gone, a Power Man, Iron Man, all these comic books have gone and have basically come and gone, but the core of Batman and Superman never have. And I think that's a lot to do with mankind. I think when they made those, they really tapped into it. Superman is the utopian. You have this ultimate hero who's the defender of people for good. And you have Batman,
he's the moral benchmark.
Yes, Superman, yeah.
You know,
and then you have Batman, who's the brooding hero, who's seeking vengeance. You know, he's trying to right the wrong. He's a Robin Hood-esque.
Crime in the face, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Robin Hood-esque character. Not so much Rob.
Yeah, it's all for basically like, I feel pain. No one else will ever feel this pain again. Not while I'm around.
Yeah. And so that's the one thing that amazes me. I mean, they're 100 years plus or minus that these characters are still around. I mean, my grandfather was born in 1911. And at one point in time, you know, he saw this for the first time. And I'd be amazed if I was him seeing up into his death in the 80s.
I want to say Superman was like 1933, something like that.
I thought it was earlier than that.
Might have been, but I think it was the 30s, though.
I'm trying to see
might have even been later. Might have been like 38, 39.
Action Comics number 1, cover dated June 1938 is the first issue of the original comic back, and it had Superman. So 38.
Well,
yeah. So
he was a comic strip before that.
Was he? Was he?
Might have been Batman that I'm thinking of. Might have been Batman was a comic strip. I can't remember which one, but I know one of them was a comic strip. So I think you might be right with that one. And Batman was a comic strip.
I don't know. It just fascinates me because how many characters, especially superheroes, have come and gone.
Yeah, no, there's nothing almost that has stood that kind of test of time that's still so fucking relevant. You know what I mean? People like Shakespeare and things like that, but you have to read into a lot of what's going on. There's a lot of historical context involved and things like that. With Batman and Superman, those stories are so visceral to the human experience in the psyche. It's just something deep within us.
I think
like those types of characters. I mean, Superman is by all accounts the Jesus story retold.
I think the only other one that I can think of is the X-Men. I think the X-Men is the one
not nearly as old. That's from like the 70s.
60s or 70s. But the reason I say that is because it also tells a story that is very similar to a lot of people's experience, that of being prejudiced. It's an ancient story, so I think it's another reason why it's going to last for perpetuity, because it's such a rich story. You have so many ways that you can manipulate that story, is because everybody at one point in time, no matter the color, race, or creed, has gone through something that they can say, hey, I experienced that. And I think the same thing with Batman and Superman.
You take the core of that story of just like hey, here's the canon, and it's kind of a basic nuts and bolts, and go from there. I mean, you know, whatever, there's so many different interpretations, you know, so many different artists, so many different writers that have got their hands on it and put their own spin on it. And all you got to do is keep the core.
And I think some degree too Fantastic Four, but I don't think as much as the X-Men, because I'm trying to think of modern day comics, modern day saying the last 60 years, that I think will have the longevity of Batman and Superman. I think the X-Men is really the only one that I think like 60 years from now, people will still be watching besides Batman and Superman.
Yeah, I think if Deadpool continues on the way it is, it could be. Maybe Punisher.
Yeah, Deadpool.
Punisher.
You know what? I just started watching the new Punisher yesterday.
Dude, I love
it. The new season.
I love it.
I really like the first season, man. Like,
I do too, but
so
I like
good.
This one.
You know, I'll give you the Punisher. I don't think the Punisher is much, just because I think it's still a little niche, but I definitely think the Punisher, because there's always going to be people who like that aspect of, I've been wrong, so I'm just going to fuck you up.
Yeah, it hits that extra level of visceral. You know, it's just I'm gonna hurt people because I feel bad.
I don't think it'll ever be super in the mainstream, because I still don't think it is. Not quite like the ones we mentioned, but I definitely think it'll always be there to some degree.
What, Punisher?
Yeah.
Dude, if people are reading
some
the
type of story like that, for sure.
The Frankenstein Punisher comics, it's going to last.
Well, no, no. I think it's going to last, but I just don't think it's going to
be. Have you seen those, Ryan?
What's that?
The Frankenstein Punisher comics?
Was there some fucking Frankenstein Punisher mashup that I wasn't aware of?
Yep. It exists.
Well, I think it's going to last. I just don't know. I just don't think it's ever going to be up front in the foreground as much as Batman, Superman, and the X-Men are. Because I personally think that the Batman, Superman, and X-Men, I think really touch something deep down in the experience of being a person versus the Punisher. I think to some degree,
can they go?
Much.
That's where I'm at. Where else can they go?
Yeah, well, what's funny is I have lately did the DC Universe has been coming out with a lot of the animated movies and whatnot, and they put Batman in feudal Japan in fucking the dark universe, you know, with like Constantine.
Yeah,
took him to Victorian London, you know, kind of like Jack the Ripper.
Was it that Gaslight?
Sort of shit. Yeah, the Gaslight one. So you can literally put that type of story in any context, you know, and have them just be this force for good, and it's a story that resonates.
I may be a little off base, but I think Constantine has potential to be the same thing, because I think it touches the occult, which is
Constantine is a definitely niche.
Well, no, it's niche, but I think it touches the occult niche. It's close enough to being occult and fascinating that it'll be a niche that's around for a long time.
Oh yeah, no, it ain't going anywhere, but it's obviously a smaller market.
Oh yeah, it'll be smaller than Punisher by a long shot. But he's such a great story. I think he's even more interesting than the Punisher personally. I would love another reboot movie. But use the guy from the fucking TV series instead of Keanu Reeves. That guy was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think them picking Keanu Reeves for that was a bad choice. But
well, here's a question, and I don't really have an answer to it. How famous was Constantine as a comic book? I don't have any reference for it, if it was well known.
No, I was gonna say no.
So Keanu doing it was probably the best thing for the medium. For that comic.
Yeah, but they changed it so much because nobody really knows about the comic. They weren't exactly interested in the
canon of
keeping
it.
In line with canon. You know, they could give a fuck. They just kind of scrapped it and sort of took the nuts and bolts that he fights demons.
But
called it a day, made their own bullshit story.
But that was
so
kind
was mostly
of
the writing and the execution. It was terrible.
But that's kind of what that era did, though. I mean, they took the basics of it and, you know, basically put it around a cement mixer, turned it on, and whatever
pretty
came
much
out was the story you got. I mean, look what happened to Pearl Harbor. It was supposed to be a movie about Pearl Harbor. Instead, you got a really screwed up love story. So Hollywood's really famous for that, though. They'll take, you know, they'll call this based on true events, in which you don't realize the based on part is the name and the beach.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And the location is real. Everything else is, you know, is phonier than a $3 bill.
That really was a terrible movie.
What? Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Titanic was more truthful than that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking Titanic.
The Titanic didn't happen?
The ship sunk in real time.
Exactly.
Oh, thank God. The Titanic didn't happen, Ryan. That was all fake.
Well, I meant the Titanic was a truer story.
Where have you been? Conspiracy, dog.
But since I never actually saw the Titanic movie, I can't really tell you how accurate it was. I've been avoiding
it. You never saw the Titanic?
No, I've been avoiding
it. How did you avoid that movie?
Because I told people no. And I was willing to stick to it.
You mean there weren't really people standing on the bow of a ship going down, what was it, the Atlantic?
I don't know. As far as I know, it really happened. I was not there, so how do I know?
I really doubt that they would let anybody stand on the bow of the Titanic like that. For any amount of time.
In all honesty.
Yeah, there was a lot less regulation back in the day. Fuck, I was on a cruise ship instead of the bow of the ship.
Dude, lawn darts were a thing. You threw them up in the air and watched them come down. So there were definitely a lot
that
less
could
regulation.
Be fun. Hey, Ryan, go stand on the bow of the ship. I'm going to hold this lawn dart. You just stay right there. Hold this apple.
Oh, hold this. Yeah, let's play William Tell.
Yeah, put this on your head.
No, put it in your mouth. Don't shut the fuck up.
Oh, God, there's a line I want to play with somebody I'd love to use in the right context. I have a great idea. What's that? Let's play William Tell. Because you know most people at this point have no fucking clue what that is. Because I get odd looks in my references that I use around you guys and all my friends, and they get that people look like a monkey doing a math problem. You know, it's like Bill Clinton's trying to figure out what the definition of is.
That's not what he was after. He just wanted to smoke a cigar.
Oh, God. There's a taste I'll never get out. That mixed with tight tobacco.
Same with that stain.
Actually, it's the image of Linda Tripp.
Oh God.
So we're running a little long. So any other stories you want to talk about before?
No, I think we're tangent went pretty well.
Okay. We're running a little long, so you guys want to make it longer or what?
I don't know. John's getting telemarketing calls.
Actually, I said it's a that's telling me it's time to put my son to bed.
Oh. Good night.
I set an alarm just because at night, you know, there's no clocks in my house for some reason, which I gotta fix. As much as a clock watcher that I really am, like the reason I stopped wearing a watch when I was younger is because I used to watch time change. Like I would look at my wrist all the time. I'm very anal retentive when it comes to time. So now I need clocks because I never know what time it is in my house. Which is weird.
Just like, okay, you just literally sat there staring at your wrist.
Apparently, I'd be like, because it was like in class and going, is this over with? You know, I'd be like, 11:01. Come on, it's got to be 11:02. What the hell? 11:04. You know, it's like this class is taking forever. I swear to God, I watched the clock go backwards. And then somebody said, yes, they're resetting it for the, you know, for fall back or spring forward. It's like, well, fuck, I just gained an extra hour of school. Thanks for that.
I've seen them do that, like clocks go backwards in school and shit. And it's like
I haven't even dropped anything
got
and
a
I'm
problem
tripping
there.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.